Do you want to do the intro?
You know you've hit the button. I was like, he's going to say to me, do you want to do... Yes, of course I fucking want to do the intro. Hello, hello, motherfuckers. Welcome back to another episode of The Muscle and the Hustle. Zero muscle, zero hustle, and a lot of shite talk. But as usual, there will be a ton of value. That's what we do best.
The ice cream and the king.
That's it. That's
what are you going to do now with ice cream? The situation around you, eh?
I've still been going out. I went out for a new gelato last night. It was lovely.
Oh, I forgot about it, actually.
Brought them out. Yeah, they flooded, so I thought I'd give them a bit of business, try and keep them afloat, you know yourself. Literally keep them afloat.
Did you? You didn't even mean that.
Excuse my pun, that's not me laughing at somebody else's bad luck. No, so, because my mum fucking loves them. She's like, the Baron not low. She loves fucking, like, Bueno and stuff, so.
It's very nice.
I'll have a wee Biscoff ice cream after this podcast with my oats. I'll have oats, some Biscoff ice cream, and I have to pack my bag because I've got that mentorship event tomorrow. So for anybody listening, I'll have done the weekend, and hopefully it's went all right. We have 100 coaches on the Friday. We have 50 coaches on the Saturday, which is mental. Is actually, there's some coaches we're mentoring that are earning between zero and 150K per month. So there's some big, big fucking earners in the room. There's people doing the whole way up to about 2 mil. So... it is a big, big fucking event for me, so I'm looking forward to it. And
you staying up?
Yeah, do you know what? I was going to travel, then I was going to stay in my business partner's house, and then, do you know what? There's a lot said for just paddling your own canoe, so I'm just taking an Airbnb near, close enough to there. I wanted to stay in the merchant, but obviously I'm not organized enough, so it's booked out, so I'm going to stay in an Airbnb. But to be honest, an Airbnb suits me because I want to be able to skedaddle out of the place. Do you know, like, actually reset out of the building?
Yeah.
I reckon I'll pop down there. I don't know if anybody's been to Common Markets after. Common Markets is like a wee food place after. I think that'll be the show. But yeah, no way. Looking forward to that, something different. Got asked to speak at Young Irish Entrepreneurs next weekend in Galway, which is a bit mental. But I haven't confirmed or anything because I don't know what the fuck I'm going to be at. I need to figure out my fucking head from my arse to my elbow by Monday. And no, everything's good there. It's a bit fucking mental. It's a bit hard to believe whenever you're speaking in front of that. That'll be the biggest crowd I've spoken in front of, about 100 people, triple digits. And then we'll build from there. But as you said, like before, and we've went over in podcasts, you don't grow in comfort zones. You know, if it was easy, everybody do it. But no, looking forward to the build up to Christmas. What is your... like, it'll be, do you know what, it'll be a weird one for you for Christmas this year, just being
Christmas will be usually Christmas yeah usually would Christmas
you,
will be
you
a weird
on Christmas
one.
Cooking duty now, is it?
Well, I'm always on it. I've done it since I've probably cooked Christmas dinner since I've been 17 18.
Fuck off. Right, tell me what do you, I'm very curious about this starter main, and obviously the main is the main.
So like starter would have changed over the years, but it always, there's a soup anyway, and then it would have been like old school, like egg mayonnaise, prawn cocktail sort of thing, and then
no,
that's what my mum and dad would have loved. Like, they love that stuff, and then it probably transcended into like crispy chicken and goo and mushrooms and stuff like that. And
soup, yes. What type of soup?
It's always vegetable. I make an unbelievable vegetable soup. Like, it's fucking...
vegetables key. Like, vegetables key. Good crispy roll.
Yeah, good crispy roll and a wee bit of Wheaton. Always a wee bit of Wheaton in case somebody wants it.
Wheaton's for them older people with the soft, with the shitty teeth.
Wheaton's like a real culture thing. Like,
prawn cocktail taste. I mean, I don't know how anybody goes near that. Like, I love prawns.
Like, no, like, my old pair would love a good prawn cocktail. Egg mayonnaise. No. I would love, I have a soft spot for an egg mayonnaise now, I won't lie to you. Now, I would never order it when I'm out, but it's just a wee soft spot for it, but then it's kind of it's more extravagant over the years, and then there's the dinner, the main dinner, and then all the sides, like fucking.
And what do you do for dessert?
Normally make a cheesecake or something, or buy a cheesecake from a good cheesecake place.
And what cheesecake is that?
It would have to be something like the Maltesers or Mintero would be the most extravagant they would go. Like,
that is extravagant, though, in the middle of all that.
But it wouldn't be like, I would say nobody would touch the dessert until like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, like, no, I'm a greedy cunt to go straight in.
Nobody would go near it until like well into the evening. I'm not a massive dessert person. I love a good chocolate brownie. but I'm not a, like, I'm not a dessert person. I just
you like a Trebbiak more than a dessert.
I know if I'm having a coffee, I'm an absolute whore for a Trebbiak, but like if it was like,
what's your go-to Trebbiak?
I like a Carmelita. I like a Blondie. If you anybody goes to General Merchants will know what I'm talking about. I do love a good chocolate brownie, as long as it's a wee bit gooey.
Yeah, rate that.
Not this flaky, not that flaky dung. Wee bit gooey. But a Carmelita out of General Merchants is top drawer, top level.
What
stuff.
Is that?
I don't know what it is. It's a biscuity, crummy thing with too much sugar in it, a lot of caramel. You can feel your teeth rotten as it touches your mouth.
That's what I'm all about. That's what I'm all about.
It's fucking, it's literally amazing, but you just know, even the weight of it, when you lift it up, you're like, that's a lot. Like,
see, I rate that. That's the sort of vibe I'm in. I'm in them, like, caramel squares.
You know what's good too? I'm starving here. Cafe-O doing espresso, caramel square.
Interesting. See, I'm not a big fan of coffee. I love coffee. I don't like tiramisu and stuff.
It's not like you won't really taste it that much. It's just in the biscuit part a wee bit. It's nice now. It's fucking.
There's a new place in Newry called the Cake Granny. I'm gonna be trying it soon. It's like very similar to like Piece of Cake and Oma. Do you know where they do the cookie pies?
How do you know about Piece of Cake and Oma?
Oh, mate, see if you're selling something that's of my sort of vibe anywhere in the country.
It's very popular place. Like, it's I walked past it on Saturday by about 12 o'clock. They're pulling the shutters down. It sells out of everything.
Yeah, like this place in there does like 12 to sell out, but like places sell out in like half an hour. See, the thing is, see if you do Kinder cookies or you do Kinder cookie pies, like, I know where you are. I know where you're open, and I'm coming. Not so simple as that. Like, I wrote to them before being like, just do delivery or just drop them down. They were like, no, sure, we're not that far from you. We're only 40 minutes. And I was like, and I texted them back going, if you drive a fucking rocket.
40 minutes, it's at least an hour than you're eating, Molly.
Oh, fuck, big spin. Yeah, but fresh on the spot. No, I was curious. See, this get me sick for Christmas, because, see, I haven't felt Christmas yet. I've been away. The first Christmas tree I saw was in Dublin Airport there. And we're pretty much in November. We're in December, very, very close to it. So I'm trying to get that Christmas spirit. Plus, we're not doing Christmas at home this year. So,
oh, you're doing hotel?
No, we done a hotel last year. We done Dublin. I'm taking my one. We're going on a cruise this year.
Oh, deadly.
We're going. I know it's going to be so sick. We're going to. Do you know the reason we've done it though? I don't know if anybody else knows this, but me and Mum and Dad, all we're talking, and like, they see Christmas for them. They actually end up doing so much cooking and cleaning and fucking, they don't actually get to fully switch off. So last year we went to the Gresham in Dublin for like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day Boxing. And don't get me wrong, we had that little to do. We were six stern each other, but the crack was great because you can't do nothing but just sit and have a drink and have a laugh. So it was great. And then we said this year, look, we'll do something similar. And see, to be honest, like, don't get me wrong, we got a really good deal for the Gresham last year, but see, most places to go, say, spend four nights in Galway or Dublin or Belfast.
Wild money.
Around Christmas, big money. So we got a cruise for a really decent price. So we took it, and it's fucking epic. We're going to start in Miami. We go to Jamaica, the Bahamas, Haiti, and then I think Christmas Day is at sea and Boxing Day is at sea, and then a day or two somewhere and then home. But, man, I'm absolutely psyched for it, because that's not all you can eat. Yeah, over Christmas, good. Do you know what? For me, Christmas is one of them things where, don't get me wrong, I know people say, oh, there's not like Christmas at home, but we don't really have any like sprogs, so we don't have any young kids or anything. So it's like very much like sitting stern each other a little bit.
Americans do Christmas right, and technically when you're on them boats, you're technically in America. And Americans do Christmas fucking better than ever. Sure, like Thanksgiving is just a warm up for Christmas. Isn't it Thanksgiving day today, isn't it? It is Thanksgiving Day today.
It is Thanksgiving today.
It's just a warm-up, and they do Christmas right. Like, if you're not in the Christmas spirit and you're in America, I don't know what, because it's driven down your throat, and it's class to see. Like, I've been in America around Christmas before, and it's phenomenal. That will be unbelievable. That'll be class. You'll enjoy that now.
Something different.
You will get to relax there too, because it's not, like, when you're like, the internet's not as good, so you can have an excuse not to fucking be on your phone as well if you needed it. And it's just like there's so much through them big cruise liners. They're just phenomenal. Like you'll be flying. So that's you away day before Christmas Day onwards.
We're away the 22nd to the 29th. I was supposed to be home now until then, but I might have to pop out to Bahrain for a little bit of business. But I'm doing a little bit of business on one of them Dubai's different states. Bahrain's like one of the, it's not a United Arab Emirates, actually outside of them. So yeah. It's a different, I don't know what the fuck it is, it's just a different country. But yeah, I might have to go out and do a wee bit there. But we'll slide off that topic. Random as fuck, I know, don't ask you, just fuck me. My
Tony the terrorist is back, boys.
Oh Jesus Christ, don't even say it. Fucking be fucking bored for life, remember? But yeah, no, we're looking forward to that, something different, because I've been trying to get in my family's very big into, like, we try and get in the seasons, like we're big into, like, oh, we'll watch Christmas movies and all, but obviously I've been away, and then I've got this event and the app launch on Monday. If you're listening nice and early, the app launch will be live the day this goes out, I'm assuming.
Yep.
We've probably sold out, so tough luck. We're not sold out, I'd be very surprised. I've done very minimal advertising because I actually think it's going to be fucking bananas as it is. But yeah, straightforward as that. Once the workload's done, it'll be a nice time. Fucking wind down, enjoy the season, enjoy the people. It's going to be hard to beat. And I think you had a couple questions you want to run through, Mickey.
We do. First, try to remember the question because I'll never find it again. One of the questions was about stopping people from annoying you. Any tips and or stopping getting annoyed by other people's actions would be a better way of writing it.
Two things, in my opinion, on that straight off the bat. So whenever somebody annoys you or you're triggered, there's two things you can do. You can either remove the trigger, or you can change the response. So either remove the trigger or change the response. So to remove the trigger, very, very simple. You either remove yourself or you remove the situation. Now, when this is people in your close life or circle, or just simply triggers you cannot change, like say for example somebody else is doing, then you are in complete control of your response, and that's completely down to you. So really good example is like whenever you snap at somebody, that's not their fault, that's your lack of patience. That's the best way to reframe that.
Yeah.
Because whenever you reframe it, that it's like, for example, earlier I was trying to film a reel with my fucking dog and it just wouldn't play ball, right? And it was fucking frustrating the fuck out of me. And afterwards, like, I didn't panic, I didn't melt, we just couldn't get it. Took like an hour and a half, just couldn't get the fucking reel.
Who's we? You and the dog?
No, me and Joseph. Yep. I paid a videographer to come up and film it and all. Couldn't get it, mate. Dog just wouldn't fucking do play ball at all. And I could have panicked and stressed and for a time. And I actually felt like snapping the fuck up about it. But the thing is, afterwards, I didn't. And I was a little bit frustrated. But like, I was like, I'm actually glad that happened, because I was like, last year, being the ball bag I was with very little personal development, I would have fucking been cracking up. I would have, and it wouldn't have served me at all. It just doesn't. So I find sometimes taking a deep breath and reaffirming, one, how could things be worse? Like right now, if somebody's annoying, you think, right, well, at least they are there to annoy me. Like, I'm sure, Mickey, right now you'd fucking kill for your, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of the things. Yeah, exactly. So being grateful and flicking the fucking switch in your head. And it's easy to say that, but it means a lot, and it's one of the things where I think that's very important. What would you say with that? How to stop people from annoying you?
I think of everything real. I was actually talking about this to someone earlier about the way I logically do things, and sometimes it sounds real serial killerish, sort of. But the way I look at it is, for like something to annoy you, it's a reaction, but it takes two actions to create a reaction. So if someone does something, you don't need to react to it. It's like if someone does something to annoy you, or their habits or something annoys you, you shouldn't even let it annoy you. If you're in that situation or scenario where you're letting it annoy you, it's probably a sign for you to take it away, because if you don't get annoyed, then it doesn't happen. You don't cause an action to get a reaction. And that's where we talk about like simple stuff like keeping your circle lower, or just surround yourself with different people, or you know, or if it's something like something you're doing that's making you annoyed, you know, that's probably saying more about yourself than saying about anything else. You know, if maybe you're a wee bit highly strung, maybe you're a wee bit stressed at the moment, and you can't get someone just right, and you're starting to get really pissed off, instead of like getting annoyed at yourself, you just have to really, you know, it's not about that simple task that you're doing at that moment. It's probably something else in the background that's causing you to be pissed off. You know, most of the time when you're annoyed about something, it's not the actual thing that you think's annoying you. It's a buildup of probably tiny things that are behind it, you know, that make you a wee bit, you know, make you a wee bit like extra snappy. Like people go, oh, I'm hungry, I'm angry. Well, you're not. Like it's there's other wee things that are causing that behind that. Or
oh, good example of that. What that is for anybody that wants to know the science, is that's called your allostatic load. So yeah, that's your total stress load. So if you are like, pretty much if you're stressed in one specific area, it can come out in another. So say your home life is really bad, but then somebody, one of your friends says something, and you're just you have no time for them. You've no actual, like, you've no stress tolerance for anything else because it's being taken up in one area. That's why people go, oh, well, you don't know what's going on at home, because if you've got a stressful set of kids and then somebody cuts you off in traffic, you end up cracking up with the person cutting you off in traffic, even though the kids are doing your head in.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that. You've only got so much stress load one specific person can handle. And that's sort of what you mean there. I get that completely, because I've been like that, but then you don't reassess that, and then it fucks with your head, and then you snap, and then, do you know what happens is you go, fuck, I'm a dick.
Well, it's normally the thing where you go, oh, I'm not going to do this again because it's made me annoyed. But it's not that. That's not that thing that's making you annoyed. It's the things that you're not giving credence to. Maybe like maybe your relationship's not that great. Maybe your work life's not that great. Maybe the simple thing where you're not sleeping right at night because you're watching TV late at night, or you're having a coffee too late at night. It's the small things that are leading to that point of you going losing the head, and then you're thinking, oh, this thing made me lose the plot. But really, it wasn't that thing. It was the accumulation of the other things. So you don't give the other things any credit at all. You just take that one action, then go, I'm never doing that again. I'm not going back to football because I lose the head watching football. Like, I watch boys like watching stuff on TV, and like, I mean, like losing the plot watching football and shouting, screaming. And you get that there's a wee bit of passion involved, but then also almost every single one of you can never see a person with their absolute complete shit together roaring out of TV. Like, I've never seen it in my life, like a person, unless, like, of course, it's your friend or something, or someone you know, or something you're invested in. Like, if it's, like, a local, really local, like, family, friends, whatever. But if you're watching, like, Man United playing, and you're screaming at the TV, and then that's putting you in a bad mood for the rest of the day, you're not looking at your missus. The kids aren't even fucking getting looked at tonight. That's saying more about something in your life than it is about, oh, I love Man United. It's not like, you haven't got your shit together if that is putting you over the edge, because a couple of millionaire footballers didn't put the ball in the back of the net. So therefore, you're going to be annoyed with your missus. You're going to maybe get absolutely shit-faced drunk and use it as an excuse. You're not going to look about your kids that night, and you're going to be in a bad mood, and you're going to be stressed and going into work on Monday because the boys are going to rip the piss out of you. Like that. Any person I know that's got their complete shit together, aye, they get annoyed when their team loses, yeah, but they're not roaring and fucking going on benders and stuff. And I've always thought about that, about boys when I see people like act out like that, and people that get like aggressive on nights out. It's like when people go, oh, vodka makes me fight. Like, no, it doesn't.
Bullshit.
It fucking bullshit. Doesn't. Having a chip on your shoulder or an underlying problem
issue
makes you like, you know, maybe it mightn't be the fact that you're like a bad guy or have you got a big issue. It could be the fact that you've got excess energy that you need to fucking get rid of. You need to go to the gym, you need to do something, you need to let off steam. Maybe you're high stressful job, and if you drink a wee bit too much, maybe you get a bit emotional, then fucking, you know, all it takes is two emotional people to meet each other on a bad night, and all of a sudden then you've got a fight. Because it takes two to tango, you know, but it's just the bad times when you find someone who is on the same plane of thought as you, and like, you know what, fucking less bang. But like,
it's usually an insecurity or some
massive insecurity. It's like when Sean Casey, you said it yourself, Sean Casey said in the podcast I listened to about going out for nights out and not drinking. And he said he came to the conclusion that because one of the nights when he first stopped drinking, he says he couldn't go because it was like a rave night or a trance night in Sydney, and he was like, fuck, I couldn't go to that night without drinking. And then he realized, fuck, maybe I shouldn't be going to them nights full stop if I need to drink to enjoy them nights.
Yes, if you need drink to enjoy something, you don't enjoy it, you shouldn't be going. It's like,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't understand why people are like, oh, I couldn't go on that night out unless I was drunk. Well, then, like, you shouldn't be there drunk either, because the thing is, you're just using it as a dulling agent to give you a reason to fit in. And when you fit in, like, when you're almost like, say you're a circle, it was a square peg and a circle in a round hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're pretty much cutting your soul off to get there. And then you wonder why you wake up like frustrated and annoyed at yourself and feeling like a bag of shit. It's because it's not just because the hangover, it's because you actually almost dulled yourself down and followed that path just to be with others for no, do you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense.
No, people are very, like, they're quick to blame things and they're quick to get annoyed at things and label themselves as annoyed and label themselves that this thing annoyed me, rather than actually really work out why they're annoyed. No, people can be like, do you ever have this in an old relationship, you would say to your girlfriend, like, what's wrong? And she go, I'm annoyed. And you go, what are you annoyed about? And she go, I don't know, I woke up annoyed. And you're like, well, like, but what about what? You know, they can't tell you what they're annoyed about, or someone doesn't know why they're annoyed. They've just woken up, like the whole getting out of the wrong side of the bed. But if you really think about it, you can probably trace it down to shit night's sleep, what happened the night before, something annoyed you, you seen something online that annoyed you, somebody said something that annoyed you, someone in work annoyed you. You can normally trace it back pretty well. But it's one of those things where, like, loads of people I've said, like, what's wrong with you? I don't know, just in a foul mood today, I'm crooked today. Like, you're like, but why? Like, why are you annoyed today? Like, if I'm in a bad mood, I can normally tell you straight off the bat why I've been in a bad mood. I'm rarely in a bad mood, which is weird for someone who's mostly always tired. But I will always try to work out why I'm in a bad mood, because I'm at a point in life of the last few years where I just try to keep everything out of my life that may annoy me or may have a tendency to maybe annoy me down the line. You know, I can see someone go, you know what? I used to be a man going, they're okay in small doses, so I'll give them small doses. Now I'm like, you know what? No, not even give them small doses, because them small doses could just fucking piss me off sometimes. And just like, no, you know what? I just keep my circle nice and small. If you're gonna be bringing negative in it, I'm just gonna stand out here and you can fart about in there. And that's where I kind of, where I'd be at. If people are annoying them in work, I don't know what sort of thing you do, but all I would say is maybe look at why they're annoying you and how they're annoying you, and is it things you're doing that's maybe bringing you to a point of maybe that fine line between annoyed and not, and then they're just putting you over it. Or maybe, like, you could be dealing with an absolute asshole too at the same time. So, you know, it's without the full details, it's a kind of hard one to suss out. But
absolutely.
When was the last time you were annoyed?
Oh, mate, I get annoyed all the time, but it's what I do with that emotion and how I regulate it that makes me better. I am really good at, like, I'm one of these people that, like, it's not like anything does annoy me or I don't care what people think. I'm just really good at resetting my thought process. The more you get used to, the better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Would, like, you reset daily?
Oh, fucking hourly sometimes. Like, it just depends on what's going on and where my stress. Like, my overall stress load today has been very, very high because I've got this event tomorrow, so there's a lot going on. I was filming in the middle of the day. Like, for example, we had this podcast at 7, so then I've got tomorrow free. So, like, right there now, I was like, fuck, I haven't had in ages. And then something as simple as I need the microwave, but yet there's fucking, like, a queue in my house for it. And I'm like, fuck me. And it's like, I can get frustrated this, or I can realistically turn around and go, well, I should have fucking heated my food up earlier. I'm just going to eat it cold. No big deal. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Versus you could turn around and say X, Y. Versus just pausing for a second, usually taking a deep breath.
Yeah.
And usually now I'm really good at arguments too, because the first thing I think is, and this helps so much, this is the game changer if you ever argue with somebody, is, am I arguing to be right?
Or are you arguing for the sake of it?
Am I arguing to be right for the sake of it, and winning this argument, is this going to help me in any way, shape, form? And see, 9 times out of 10, it's not.
Most times, arguments are never worth it.
They're stupid. Even if you're a relationship issue, the thing is, you're creating an argument. Even it doesn't matter if you're right. You're like, don't get me wrong. There's a point in where you just need the person to understand where you come from, what you would ideally like them to do or you not to do again, or what the issue is. And then you don't need to argue to prove your point. That person should understand your point and be compassionate and take it in and either change or tweak something, and vice versa. If somebody's taking a punt at you and you immediately get defensive, 9 times out of 10, that shows you're triggered. It shows they're right, and you should actually be taken into consideration. Say, for example, you do leave dirty dishes, but you've had a very stressful day, blah, blah, blah. Just take it into consideration. Do better, and don't say, I'll try. Just do better. And the thing is, whenever you focus on becoming that little bit better and you don't focus on winning an argument, rather than you focus on how do you get past the argument together, and is the argument worthwhile? Is it going to actually help the relationship move forward? Because a lot of people dodge the hard arguments. So I'm not saying dodge them. I'm saying take them into consideration. But I'm just saying in a sense of you need to realize what the objective of the argument actually is, rather than it's not who's right. It's what needs done to improve the relationship on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that. And that's on every relationship. That's in you with your mother, your dad, your sister, your bro, your partner, your friends. Like, it's one of the things where people get caught up in, like, dominance and, like, I need to be right all the time. You don't need to be right. And for me, that's probably what I've got better at. It's like, what realistically is going to work well? And that even happens to me and my business partner, Steven. Like, sometimes I'm like, well, what the fuck's this about? But then I'm like, like, he's not doing it for that reason. He's doing it because he thinks this is right. And I'll be like, right, well, what about this? What about that? And then, you know, you come in level-headed. So normally what I do now is I just take a bit of an emotional detox. I take a step back. I go to the bathroom. I leave my phone the fuck away. I take a three minute walk outside my house, like up and down the street with a cup of tea, or pause, take a breath, and then sort out. Whereas, see, when you react emotionally to any situation like that, it just comes across stupid as fuck.
If there's any sort of like even a hint of anger in your voice, you're already in the wrong if the other person is none, because it's like, why are you getting angry? And you're like, well, I'm not. Well, kind of you are, because you did sort of raise your voice. But actually, one of the things that you said a while ago, but you said it about a different thing, I've started actually implementing it in my life. You were saying about going away on holidays with expectations, or going away places with going to a new place with lower expectations, and then it's always better. The main annoyance in my life is thinking everybody should be as good as like what I do for a living, like, so events and stuff and promoting. So I always kind of think everybody should be as good as I'm at it. And then when they kind of start dropping the ball a bit coming up to events, I get really annoyed, like, what, how the fuck, come on lads, what the fuck are we at here, sort of thing. So now I just realized to lower my expectations, so then I know it doesn't sound nice, like, but I have to lower my expectations that people can't do it to the way I'd like to do it, and I can't be annoyed at them because just it's not fair on them, instead of getting just pissed off because they're like, they don't mean to do a shit job. You know, they don't mean to do things wrong, but some of the things like that goes wrong can be like catastrophic to the event, and then you have to step in last minute and fix everything. So it just means like that you're at a point where you almost have to always overlook every single small detail. And if you're paying people to do a job, that's not a nice place to be in, because you're probably just paying someone to do a job that you have to overlook every single detail. So even though the workload is lower for you, the stress is still there. So I've realized now that I just have to lower. It was something Roy Keane talked about too, because his expectations of footballers were too high. So you just have to lower the expectations slightly and realize that, you know, people have different talents and people have different levels. So you can't expect everybody to do something to your certain, you know, expectations all the time, because that's just not fair. And it's not fair on them. And then ultimately when you get annoyed, once again, it's not really fair, because they did it thinking they were doing it right when really it was wrong. And nobody sets out to do something wrong. Whereas once your head goes, you don't think about things like that. You think of, what the fuck, like, why'd you do that? Like, as you just said, why'd you do that? But nobody sets out to do something that's going to harm a business. You know, if you're working, you set out to do something you think's correct. But that's just a side tangent. We've got another question.
Well,
we got two questions. We got one about moving home, and we have another one about embracing gratitude, positive energy and opportunities. What would you like to go over?
Oh, I think I'm what would you, you know what you pick, because both of them make no odds to me.
Let's talk about moving home, sure. Because you kind of come back and forth from long-term being away to coming home. I know it's a wee bit different. Maybe this person means maybe years being away, but it's still the same sort of thing. We talked about this before. The problem about moving home and home isn't a physical object. And I think the more you realize that, the better. There is like the symbol of your home might be your house, but really it's the people in your home that makes the home the home. You know, if you move house, it's you know, it's still the same people. And that's kind of my thinking of the whole thing. You know, the house is the symbol, aye. And it might be the location, but it's not. The home is the things in it and the people in it. And you know, the things could be actually, you know, like there's nothing better than that. You know, the spot that you like to lie in your own bed, or the place in the sofa you like to sit. Do you ever just sit down somewhere in your sofa and go, fuck, that's me now? Because that's my wee spot. That could be something that symbolizes your home. You're safe. You know, you can rest now, you can chill. But
it's one of them things for me. Like I become very grateful very fast, because realistically, whenever I'm away for large time periods, I really enjoy coming home, because you don't take people for granted. Whereas when you see people every single day, you do take them for granted. So I'm lucky in that sense that I constantly get reminded whenever I'm away. I don't get to see my mom and dad as much, you know, and I make the most of it when I'm home. Like, for example, the very first thing I done whenever I landed back was, like, I took everybody out for dinner on the Monday night. Like, they were like, you're going to be wrecked, you know, it's a 24-hour flight, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't care. I was like, I haven't seen you in months. I don't want it to be in the house, because for me, seeing where you don't plan to go out, or you don't plan to go for coffee, you don't plan to go for food.
They're the best ones.
Fuckers will scroll on their phones, even though they don't mean to. I'll not zone in. You'll not get everybody at the one time, whereas we have a rule, like when we sit at the dinner table, when we go out for dinner, you put your phone away, it sits off the table, and everybody engages in a proper... It wasn't really even about me traveling, it's just the proper engagement. And then the thing is, for me, it's just that daily reminder of gratitude. It's not. It's, as I said, it's how good things be worse. It's being grateful for them little things. I feel like it's, as I said to you in one of the prior podcasts, Mo got it, like you have to rehearse it 9 times. Like, it has to be drilling you so much that it's like a reflex. Whereas if it's not a reflex, it's like, as soon as I got burnt the other week on that moped, I didn't turn around and go, oh my god, this fucking sucks ball. I was, thank fuck it didn't happen on my arm or my face, or thank fuck I didn't get wrecked. Like, I was like, thank fuck I didn't break my leg. And the thing is, that's immediate. Like, that was my reaction, whereas I know other people would react very differently. But the only reason the difference to that is, it's not who I am, it's because I've worked on that. And that's the thing, that's the only difference. Like, we're doing a seminar tomorrow, and there's one of the guest speakers that's joined it, and he's went from making £1,200 to £30,000 a month, right? £1,200 a month, 30. And the only thing he's done is just work on himself, work on the bit. It's not special. It's not same as the mindset side of things, as you said yourself. Like, the only way you get good at gratitude, you get good at your mindset, is doing the work. And you might be like, well, how do you do that? Well, what courses have you went to? Who are you talking to? What are you feeding your brain with? And like, what are you learning in? Like, are you always scrolling? Do you struggle to sit with your own thoughts? Do you plan what you want for the future? Do you look at your life and go, right, does my time align with my values? Are you listening to good quality podcasts, good speakers, or are you just consuming absolute shit and then wondering why your head's fucked and why maybe you're feeling a little bit off? All that feeds you. You're either feeding yourself with good soil and that's going to make you grow better, or you're giving yourself weed killer. And I think a lot of people don't realize, like, I done that for years. Like, and I'm not, this is not me preaching, it's not me, I done that for years and didn't even realize. Like, now I wake up in the morning, there's no, I'm obsessed with like optimization of mental state now, like obsessed with the last while.
Talk about that after you finish your eve thought here.
So like I wake up, there's no dopamine spikes in the morning, like no social media allowed for 90 minutes, no caffeine allowed for 60-90 minutes. Some of the things I got there, we can talk about optimization of mental clarity in a minute. I have no problem going for that. But just Joe, like what are you doing to make you better? And it's that sense of like with gratitude, you're not gonna naturally just wake up and start being grateful for things. It's like, right, well, how do I make this more normal in my life? And it's by practice day upon day for months and months and months. And now I don't write a daily gratitude list because I'm literally grateful all the time. And it's one of the things where I don't need to keep rehearsing that. So you don't think you'll be writing that for the rest of your days. You can go back to it. You can do it at times. It's just a tool. But initially that's a tool to build a habit and a thought process. Just like the way people would say in the mirror, I am great. Say in the mirror, I am. It's to build the process. It's not to be the be all and end all. It's part of the journey. And that's key. If you want to dive straight into the mindset optimization,
dive into that, because it may as well, because it kind of works with us. So
yeah, right, so pretty much over the last, I'd say, 6 months, I've been pretty much experimenting with cognitive enhancers, routines, peak flow states. I've done an entire series on this for the mentorship, but I'll give a breakdown. So everything from what should be in your office space to how to prime yourself for creative work versus how to prime yourself for more logical and statistic work. So for example, whenever I wake up, and this is very person dependent, a lot of it's from Andrew Huberman on YouTube, if you listen to him. A lot of it is from other researchers, other books, PubMed. I've completely turned into a geek about it. But pretty much if you wake up in the morning, the first things you realistically want to do is you want some sort of bright light overhead. So like I'll use an LED light on my phone, or if it was using my phone, but usually I just stick up my laptop. Because I go into work relatively soon enough. I don't take caffeine straight away, because if you take caffeine straight away, you know, in the morning your cortisol is still high and then you'll get a midday crash. So by delaying your caffeine like 60 to 90 minutes upon waking, you get a far better release of it. It's more effective and you don't get that midday crash. It's far more fluid versus a big peak and a big drop off, because the way your sort of adrenaline hormones and everything are kicking in. I don't want to bore you with the science of it. So delaying the caffeine can massively help your energy for the day, and then using light to stimulate that. And then the thing is, you don't have to stay away from just caffeine. You can utilize other things in the morning, like cognitive enhancers, like where, for example, like the most studied one is alpha GPC. Now, I'm not saying that you should take these, you know. People will know cognitive enhancers that are illegal. You'll hear people take them, study drugs like Adderall, modafinil, amodafinil. These are all very heavy versions of this compound, and these are all great, but they're illegal, so you shouldn't be using them because they're not going to be good for you long term. The fuck with your focus.
Well, they're not illegal. They're prescription. There's prescription.
Prescription. Yeah. So yeah, but if you're acquiring them, it's like.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're acquiring them. It's yeah. Well, it's maybe not illegal to have them. It's maybe illegal to buy. I don't know, but yeah, you shouldn't be taking them unless you're prescribed them. It's simple as that. And pretty much people use them as study drugs, but then there's kickback, because then once you study with them, it's hard to study without. But alpha GPC is very long-term study now. It's probably the number one cognitive enhancer. And it was one of the reasons why one of the reasons whenever James Smith and Chris Wells released a nootropic drink, the only reason alpha GPC isn't in that is because of how dear that is to put in a drink. But the only energy drink, the only thing on the market with that is a Ghost 10. And it's just, it's not me promoting it. That's the reason a Ghost 10 is so dear. Alpha GPC is one of the only cognitive enhancers that like is really, I mean, deeply science-backed. It's shown if you take it, you'll get a really good work block. It helps with like tunnel vision. Other things that you can stack that with is like, now the research on these is a little bit less statistically significant. So in other words, less like 100% bang for your buck. So this is where alpha GPC will 100% work. This is where you will take that. And then what you want to trial is for yourself. People will either try it with hyperzine A, tried it with L-tyrosine or L-pennifeffling. And pretty much hyperzine A be sweet. L-tyrosine will give you a knockdown. I wouldn't take it for your first work block, because if you stack it with alpha GPC, you'll get a come down because it's so heavy hitting. I can put it in the show notes or whatever. It is okay. It's just very weak, so people usually take a bit of it. Now that would be like how you would work maybe a cognitive enhanced block, or you could stack, you know, alpha GPC, hyperzine, and caffeine.
Yeah.
But the one thing that Huberman and others elaborate about your your mental clarity state. It's not necessarily what you take, it's what you take based on the arousal level you are before work. Yeah. So this will relate to a lot of people. Do you ever go to a cafe, get a really good work block or study block done, and you're like, fuck, that was excellent, and then the next time you go, you do the exact same thing, you get the same coffee, the same time, but you can't zone in.
So it's the readiness, it's the preparing, it's the pre-prep, isn't it?
It's the autonomic arousal level you're at. So for example, on the first day, that was just the perfect concoction to get you into flow. Versus the second day you go in, there's 20% more people in the room. It's slightly brighter. There's maybe a bit louder in the music, or there's songs with lyrics. And instead of you taking a cup of coffee this time, you should realize, right, my arousal level is quite high. I'm quite like stressed here. So what I actually need is soundproof headphones, maybe binaural beats or music without lyrics, so I'm not getting stimulated, and let me focus for 10 to 15 minutes like a warm-up first, and then once I'm in flow I can then add caffeine. Whereas if you go in, you're over aroused and you just add a stimulant in, you're just gonna get more aroused.
That's why a lot of people say like caffeine can give them anxiety, but it's not
exactly,
it's probably not anxiety, but it's not a kick in the arse of the same feeling as anxiety. It's just it's heightening everything around you, so you're feeling your brain's interpreting as anxiety, but it's probably not. It's just you're at a heightened kind of level that you're almost overthinking and believing that you're getting anxious about stuff. But no, that's very...
I go so heavy in that, like everything from workspace optimization.
Well, that's the kind of way, like if you ever think of like a music studio in your head, if you ever seen a picture of a music studio, they're very controlled environments. Everything from the lighting to the sound is controlled. The more you can control, the better. You know, if you can set up, as you said, your workspace, you can set up your perfect workspace with all the controls. You said LED lighting, the sound, the temperature, where it's at, the seat you're in, the desk height, everything. If you can set it up perfectly for you, you're controlling the controllables. If you go into a coffee shop, you can get work done, and sometimes you can just catch it perfect. But that's not to say there's a fellow going to be across from you fucking munching loud as fuck, or making noise, or kids screaming, or the place is just busier, or the sun's coming in through the window more, or the place is too cold.
100%, mate.
If you control the controllables, you can make things a lot easier. A lot. It's the same as when you're in your car. You have so many controls now to make them more comfortable, from the temperature to the temperature of the seat, to the climate control, to the AC, to whereabouts the air is going to hit you. You're controlling the climate that you're in there. Your cabin's under control, so why not bring that sort of thing into your workspace and just control all the wee things? That's the reason. Like, I go to music studios rather than make music at home, because I can't really make music at home because of distractions and different things. I can never get comfortable doing it. But if I go into a studio, I can churn out music pretty fast because it's a nice controlled environment. Now, I don't bring people in the studio with me, because then I just do less work. Even one person in there with me, I'll do half the amount of work. So I have to be on my own, controlled, phone out of the way.
Yeah, so does that mean I'd be the exact same? It's one of and things where you control that variable, and it's completely down to you how that dictates you, but it's knowing what to slide in and out depending on your arousal level. So, and also what you're doing. So like, for example, like there's research to back like doing the harder tasks first in the day. Yes, people say because they're harder, but also because you've usually got more mental bandwidth for that time period to problem solve and that. Whereas like, I'll keep low priority tasks to later in the day, because it just makes sense. That's why we end up hitting the fuck it button, because like even some of the research shows that willpower, it does actually tap out, because as you get more tired, your discipline level drops. It's subconsciously, it's far easier. So even subtle things like that add up over time. So I've been really maximizing this. I've been going into more detail on another, I think it'd be a good topic maybe for another one, because that's a good...
It could be a good topic for one of the in-person ones.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. Look, I've dived in so much. I think cognitive function and like performance in any area is one of the things that everybody wants a bit more of, because then there's times where you want to be tuned in, relaxed, and it's our body works of association. So like, I'll always drink chamomile tea at night to unwind.
Yeah.
I'll never touch it any overtime. I don't have caffeine in orange out because it primes you for the next day. Some things like that, but look, I can dive into this fucking for weeks upon weeks if needed, but I think we want a full podcast on it. And I didn't know if you want to run for anything else or if you're hopping off the wrap. That's
probably a
fucking long.
Wrap her up, as your granny said.
I have the event for fucking tomorrow, so
Tony's down it. Well, no, this will be over. But I was going to say Tony's down the merchant. Go hold down and see him, but this will be over by that stage.
Thank fuck, I don't need to do half the country arriving in.
Guys, thanks so much. Keep rating, reviewing, enjoying it. We went into the charts in Saudi Arabia last week, which is a new one. Fuck? I don't know. Probably a couple of boys.
Following some crack.
Boys. A couple of boys overwork. A couple of Irish boys overworking in Saudi Arabia, no doubt.
They're fucking strung out, them fellas.
Ah, mental. But yeah, cheers. Keep rating, reviewing, sharing. Keep hitting us up your topics, and we'll keep answering questions, and we'll get chatting to you next time. Good luck.
Hasta la vista.